are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rotino, and you can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. I did post a late night podcast on Thursday night, did a crossover episode with Dillard Thomas of a Locked On D-back. So if you haven't listened to that, make sure you go back and check that out. Good stuff there from Dillard, previewing this series with the Diamondbacks and talking about potential trade partners down the line as well. So if you haven't given that a listen, please make sure to go back and do that. But on this episode, we'll be diving into Thursday's game, which was a good win for the Brewers to kick off this four-game set against Arizona. Before we get into that, let me remind you, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app now and join me the next time I go live during a Brewers game, which might be Friday night. So make sure you get that downloaded. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Start off with a little bit of news. One bit coming out of Thursday's game, Colton Wong left the game with a left oblique discomfort. Said after the game that his oblique strain is in the same spot as the one that landed him on the IL back in April. Doesn't seem to be particularly severe, but it is concerning that it's in the same area, counsel said. They'll see how Colton Wong feels on Friday before making a decision there. Certainly not great news to see that flare up on him again. Obliques, again, it's a tough injury, one that does seem to pop back up. So hate to see that for Wong. Again, he's been one of the more consistent offensive producers in the lineup. Would hate to be without him again for any amount of time. Hobie Milner was called up and Alec Bettinger sent down. And then Garrett Mitchell hit his first pro career home run, one of hopefully many to come. And we had a question about Garrett Mitchell that I wanted to address real quick. This came from Deborah Smith on Twitter. Deborah S22 said, can you tell me why Garrett Mitchell is in high A instead of triple A? I'm not really clear on how this works. Yeah, Deborah, I mean, basically with, you know, us not having a minor league season last year after he was drafted, it just seems like the most logical place to start him. Had he been able to play after getting drafted last year, he probably would have started an A ball. He probably still would have started this year at high A. But with a quick trigger to call him up if he's hitting like he has been. But just, you know, an easy way to introduce him into pro ball, let him get his feet wet. You don't want to start him at too high of a level and ruin that confidence and then have to move him down. That's certainly not what you want to do with your first round pick and your top overall prospect. So a good move there to start him at high A. If he continues to hit the ball well like he has, would not be surprised at all if they call him up to double A later in the year. But good to see Mitchell out there. I know he had missed a good chunk of time early in the year, so glad to see him back on the field and getting his first pro home run. Also down on the farm, Nashville wins its 15th straight game on Thursday. Incredible run that they are on right now. A lot of good players there. Maybe they will get a chance to help the Brewers go on a run here at some point. Adam McAlvey on Twitter shared this about Keston Hiura. Said he was out early with Andy Haynes on Thursday, doing some work, obviously, but the pitching matchups the next couple of days would dictate a left-handed hitting first baseman. And we saw Vogelbach in the lineup on Thursday. But he said no roster move as of yet, and quoted Craig Counsell as saying, we're just continuing to work to try to get him in a good spot. That's what we have to continue to do. And Vinny, I know we talked about it on Thursday's podcast. You know, neither one of us would be surprised if they did send him back down. This quote from Counsell makes it seem like they're going to give him a little bit longer leash here, see if he can figure things out. Like Counsell said, try to get him in a good spot. But I mean, that to me, I mean, you want Keston to be an everyday guy. I understand he's not that right now. For me, if he's not going to get those everyday at bats, then send him down to AAA. Let him get everyday work in and see if he can iron these things out.
I agree. I also think that perhaps the Brewers are just trying to maybe, okay, let's give him a couple 3 days off. Let's match him up against some favorable matchups. All of a sudden, he gets that good feeling. All of a sudden, he snaps out of that kind of mental funk that he's been in. Look, he pinch hit tonight, and he was 1 foot short of a homer
and I saw that.
2 feet foul, too far right of a homer. I mean, I'm sorry. Nothing has gone Keston Hira's way when he has barreled the ball up. I mean, when you're going bad, you need a couple of crappy hits to fall in. You need – and then you need the ones that you barrel up to stay fair, you know, or get – or find holes. It's been frustrating for – it's been frustrating to watch for him a little bit. I know that he's – look, he's got to eventually learn the lesson of control what you can control. Okay, he hasn't learned that yet at the big league level. Very hard to do. Okay, and he's in a little bit of a mental funk. Maybe, you know, I don't know if that's what Council meant by that, is that we're going to find favorable matchups for him. But, you know, maybe that is what he – if that is what he meant and that's what they do, I think that's a good plan of attack. I think they're just going to try and problem solve around how to get him going multiple ways, right? And I think that's the way that they're going to probably attack it right now.
Yeah, and like I said, makes sense. I mean, even on our podcast Thursday, you know, I thought it was probably a little too early to send him down, but I get it. You want to try to get him that good feeling, like you're talking about, see some balls drop in, just see some things go his way. But it just hasn't done that at all this year. And the, you know, the fact that he's looked completely lost at the plate at times. I agree. I thought the swings on Thursday though were pretty good, made some solid contact. So hopefully that's encouraging. Maybe they can get him going. Again, put him in those spots to succeed. Certainly want to see that. But I also can understand the point of fans who, you know, like me, my initial thinking was if he's not going to play every day, let him go down to where he can play every day and iron things out, because the Brewers need Keston to be an everyday player. They need that bat in the lineup, producing, bringing some power. And that's just, you know, not happening right now, but hopefully they can get him going. We'll take a break here before we do the recap. Let me tell you about our friend at betonline.ag. You hear me talk about them all the time. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. You got the NBA and NHL seasons in the postseason right now. You got Major League Baseball games going off every night. So there's plenty of games out there to choose from. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by Sports Trade. Sports Trade is where fantasy sports meets the stock market. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Making money with Sports Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. And two, good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at Sports Trade and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. All right, so let's run through Thursday's game. Brett Anderson gets the start, worked around some traffic in the first three innings, really in every inning. He works around some traffic, was able to keep the Diamondbacks off the board early, and that allowed the Brewers offense to settle in against a young pitcher in John Duplantier, who is making just his fifth big league start. And the Brewers got to him in the third inning. Jackie Bradley Jr. got it started with a solo shot. It was a really nice opposite field swing that sailed out of there. Again, JBJ has been struggling lately, so good to see him get that big hit there for his confidence. Then Brett Anderson walked, Vogelbach singled, and then Yelly hit an absolute laser that just got over the right field wall, Vinny, for a big three-run homer to make it 4-0.
JBJ's bomb was the thing that got everything going tonight, or Thursday night. He can hit anybody's fastball. Duplantier kind of grooved him a fastball on the outer third of the plate, but it was a great swing. Left it a little bit up, and you know he just drove it out of here. It's a missile to the opposite field, straightaway left field. I think that's probably going to be a good place for JBJ to kind of build off of in terms of like where he needs to be. I think you know that always used to get hitters back locked in. I'm going to take. Shoot, who's that left fielder for the Brewers? Used to take two at-bats. His name was Carlos Lee. Carlos Lee would take two at-bats every single year. He told me this. Two at-bats every year and say, I'm going to take these next two at-bats and ground out to the second baseman on purpose because that's going to get me locked in. And obviously he's a right-handed hitter. So get him locked back in, stay on the ball, stay on slider. So hopefully – that swing, and I did see more confident swings from JBJ for the rest of the night. Obviously, the three-run homer from Yelich was huge as well. He was on time. He was almost, like, too early. I think right. I think he has to almost feel like he's too early probably because we've seen it where he's been late. He doesn't really chase that much out of the zone. It's pretty impressive with the way that he can time up that ball and kind of understand which pitches he can handle. So I just think if he almost like cheats a little bit, even, it just starts a little bit early. I think that's when we've seen, Christian Yelich be at his best when it's like super early getting going. And again, just has that knack for timing and for the barrel. So very encouraging both those home runs tonight.
Yeah. That's what the thing was me with the Yelich home run. Like you said, it looked like he was almost too early, but he was still strong enough to just laser that out to right field. So pretty incredible stuff there. But the Brewers take a 4-0 lead early in the third inning. And then again, Anderson worked around traffic in the fourth, but the Diamondbacks finally got to him in the fifth. Got a leadoff double by Ketel Marte, and that was later followed on a two-run homer from Carson Kelly. A really good catcher, by the way, if you haven't been paying much attention to the Diamondbacks. Really good catcher all around in the league. Anderson did go on to give up a double to Christian Walker before being replaced by Brent Suter. And Anderson was actually ejected, arguing with the home plate umpire, walking off the field. He wasn't particularly happy with the strike zone on Thursday night. Vinny, did you recognize or see any kind of missed calls there?
Both sides were kind of complaining about it. He wasn't given the low strike at all. It wasn't great. It wasn't real consistent.
Yeah, that's kind of what I noticed as well, is just the lack of consistency, really. You know, yes, I would like a universal strike zone for everybody, but I think at the very least, pitchers just want it to be consistent, and the zone seemed to be moving around a lot tonight, and Anderson let the home plate umpire know about it on his way off the field. So a tough night, you know, for Anderson. Wasn't able to get through the fifth to get in line for that win, but did do a good job kind of working around a lot of traffic in this one, as he typically does. Suter would come in. He'd allow a run to score, kind of a sinking line drive to right field that just dropped out of Evesel Garcia's glove, allowing that run to score to make it 4-3. But Rios would get that right back. He got a hanging slider up and away, just kind of spun out over the top of the zone. He pulled it out to left field. That made it 5-3. Still in the fifth inning, the Brewers got back-to-back walks from Yelly and Avi, and it looked like the Diamondbacks might get out of it as they got a weak grounder to first base by Omar Narvaez. Christian Walker stepped on the bag at first, but then threw the ball away at second, and that allowed the run to come around to score and made it 6-3. Things were pretty quiet the next few innings. Suter and did a great job settling things down there, and Boxberger did a great job in his inning. But then came the eighth, and Devin Williams, and Vinny, I'm going to hold your comments for this on the next segment, but things were not smooth for Devin Williams, to say the least, in this one. He walked a leadoff batter, which is never good. That runner moved to second on a wild pitch, and then Marte brought him in, making it 6-4. He didn't walk the next batter, but then got back-to-back strikeouts to escape the jam. He finished it off with a nasty changeup down and in on a 3-2 count to Christian Walker. Just really, you know, vintage Devin Williams changeup there. Abby would get that run right back. He got a leadoff homer in the eighth to extend that lead back to 3. And then Hader came in, struck out the side in the ninth. Did have a single mixed in there, but never really much stress in the ninth inning there. We'll take another quick break and then get to some of our takeaways from this game. Before we do that, let me remind you that this show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular chocolate chip fudge, or cookies and cream. They have a bunch of different flavors from coconut, almond toffee, to mint, dark chocolate, raspberry. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors that you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a very unique taste. Something that tastes good, and they're not hard as a rock. They have the soft middle, so it's very easy to chew, easy to get down. They're very tasty, and they're great for you. Most of them only have about 5 net carbs. So whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether it's just a snack for you like it is for me, you can eat them anytime. They're packed with protein. Again, there aren't a lot of carbs involved, so it's a good treat for you to be able to have, and they taste amazing. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. Go to BuiltBar.com today and try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Again, just go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. So, Vinny, I feel like we've talked about this all season, but definitely want to bring it up again. Devin Williams continues to be kind of up and down. I mean, even in this outing alone, I mean, he had his struggles at times, but then at times he looked like the Devin Williams from last year. I mean, is this just the new Devin Williams? I mean, I always say, you know, 2020 numbers you have to take with a grain of salt. And for a lot of Brewers hitters anyway, I just kind of throw those out the window because it was such a short season. Did we perhaps get teased a little bit in a short sample size with Devin Williams? And is he more so just the kind of reliever we've seen this year, which is still a good reliever, but one that's definitely going to have his hiccups at times?
Take a look at video from Devin Williams from 2020 and then from 2021. It looks like he's dropping his slot, dropping his elbow a little bit, and stuff flattens out. That's what it looks like to my scouting lenses. I don't know if that's what's going on, and I don't know if that has, and if it is going on, I don't know if it's has something to do with the injury to his shoulder at the end of the season last year, mm-hmm. where it's like it's almost like he's protecting it or something. That's what I see. I wouldn't even bring this up on the pre and post game show because it's like, okay, I don't want to really. Am I really the coach? Is that really what's going on? I don't. I love throwing theories out there on this podcast, Jake. So I'm just a theory guy, you know, yep. like discussing different scenarios, and it's just fun to do. So that's why I'm bringing it up here. Also, it could be just the fact that what you just said. It could be that he is a guy that, you know, you add that third deck now with fans in the bright lights, the big leagues. He just might be having some trouble staying consistent with executing his pitches. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a lower pulse kind of guy, lower motor kind of guy in general. And without the fans, like just that could have been just the perfect amount of adrenaline for him. And now he's had the fans and there's just a little bit extra pressure. And then also just the pressure of what he did last year, the expectations on him to perform exactly how he did. So, that's what I'm just throwing all kinds of theories and scenarios out there, but yeah. That's kind of what I see.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, to expect him to do what he did in 2020 is just unreasonable. I mean, he was unreal. That's why it's unreasonable. Yeah. Last year, like I said, I still think he's, you know, a really good reliever. I mean, 32 strikeouts in 20 and a third innings this year. So, I mean, he's still pretty dominant. He just seems to lose it at time. And like you said, maybe it's because of those added fans, the added pressure, there. He didn't have to deal with that last year. You know, also the fact that, you know, hitters have more tape on him now, more video. They're going to adjust and figure him out a little bit. But I mean, with the struggles that the Brewers have had in the bullpen, they need him to kind of be that guy. And if he's not, then, you know, that's a problem. But still, even at that, I think he's still, you know, a very effective reliever.
He is. Let me just add this too. So a couple of things. I think the Brewers should probably put Brad Boxberger in the eighth and put Devin Williams in the seventh. I just think maybe that would create a scenario where there's a little bit less pressure, or maybe even line it up where Boxberger, if it's the heart of the order, then William in the seventh and then Williams in the eighth, something like that. I think, I just think the kid's got to have some more maturation and then just refine the command of both those pitches, the fastball and the changeup. He threw 34 pitches tonight, 27 changeups. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah. So that's all I have.
Yeah, no, that's a good point too. I mean, when Devin was throwing in his best this year, possibly when Council moved him to that seventh inning role. So I don't think that's a bad idea, especially with how good Boxberger has been. But that was really all I had. Any other takeaways you had from this game in particular, Vinny, y'all talked about on the post-game show you wanted to bring up?
I thought it was interesting, Luis Urias, and he's going to get a lot more playing time now with Colton Wong out. I took a look at his spray chart this year, and he's pulled a ton of baseballs. And I think it's a testament to some of the things that maybe he's trying to maybe tap into a little bit of like what Alex Bregman, his approach is just kind of like, hey, I'm going to cheat and get the head out and pull some baseballs. And flatten out, and that's essentially what Bregman did, and flatten out his swing. I'm not saying Luis Urias is going to start turning.
hot take.
Definitely not a hot take here. I'm not suggesting that Luis Urias is going to turn into Alex Bregman by any stretch of imagination. But I do think it's an interesting approach for the kid who has a really good eye, who doesn't really chase, and it's almost like he talk about. Cheating to balls, like he's just like getting it going super early and getting the head out and really just staying behind the baseball. And I just think, you know, that could be a valuable approach for the kid, as opposed to the, you know, kind of punch and Judy type approach that he took in the major leagues a lot, his first two tastes of the major leagues in 19 and in 20 with the Padres. So I encouraging approach there, I think, and I think Andy Haynes has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, for sure, and that's a much better description of what I tried to say, obviously with your scouting background. But from that hit tonight that he had, I mean, it was a slider, you know, breaking up in a way, and he was able to get the barrel around on that and yank it out to left field rather authoritatively. So, yeah, that speaks a lot to what you're talking about there. But a good first win in this four-game series for the Brewers. And again, they got Freddie P lined up for Friday, Woodruff on Saturday, and Burns on Sunday against a Diamondbacks team that just honestly is not very good. They got some hitters, but their pitching rotation is banged up. So hopefully the offense will continue to score. They've scored a lot of runs their last two games. So hopefully they'll continue to do that and get rolling there. And obviously like our chances with the three pitchers that I mentioned on the mound. So hopefully the Brewers can at least win this series, if not sweep, and give us a good weekend. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, please make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers. Your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.